Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any web video network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Hello, everybody. This is Destiny Fox.
Hi, everybody. This is Michael Fox. We're glad to have y'all back again tonight so we can discuss the paranormal.
Yes, and we've got a great guest. Let me tell you a little bit about us. We have a page on Facebook. We're Fox Paranormal. I also run a page called The Paranormal Fox. Also, we have an advertising page called Fox Paranormal Advertising. That's where people can share about their paranormal events, ghost walks, ghost tours, live streams, podcasts, anything pertaining to the paranormal that you want. You can also visit us on our website at www.foxparanormal.com.
That's right. We look forward to hearing from everybody.
Yes. Be sure to jump in the chat room if you're listening. Let us know that you're there. And if you have any questions, we welcome your questions. We'd love to hear them. All righty. We have a special guest with us tonight.
Yes. Be sure to jump in the chat
room. Oh, turn that off. So I jumped in the chat room and then I hear myself talking back. We decided we were going to go on a little ghost walk in a lovely little town called Tallapoosa. And it was fantastic. I had never been on one before in my life. Michael and I went. We took a couple of team members with us. And it was amazing, the history that we... I was more fascinated with the history of the town than the paranormal, to be honest with you.
Oh, I know. It was interesting.
And yes. And then maybe the next year, the year after that, we went back and it was totally different. Like if you've been to the ghost walk in Tallapoosa, Georgia, go back again, because every time you go, it's different. You learn something new every time. And with us tonight, we've got Susan Pitts, who is in charge of this ghost walk. Susan, tell us a little something about yourself.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here tonight. I'm Susan Pitts. I am a lifelong resident of Harrelson County. And I moved back here, though, after being gone for about 20 years. And when I came back, I fell in love with the history of Tallapoosa, Georgia, all over again. I came back to my hometown. And I was fascinated. And then I was obsessed with the history. Stories, and I'd always loved anything to do with ghost stories, people's accounts, anything to do with things they had seen or heard. And I was just sitting at home one day and I said, wouldn't it be amazing to have a ghost walk here in Tallapoosa, Georgia? And 7 years later, here we are, about to launch our seventh season of tours.
Awesome.
Wow.
Wow, it's been that long. I think we went maybe the...
It's seven seasons. This will be our seventh one. Uh-huh.
I think we went the second season or third. Has it been that long ago? Oh, my goodness. The last one was fascinating to me because by this time it had evolved into a lot more than the first one. And I was fascinated again. It's just awesome. Tell us a little bit about the town of Tallapoosa.
Well, Tallapoosa was established in 1860. It started out, frankly, as a gold mining town. We had a big gold rush, that same vein that comes down from Dahlonega and Villarica. Well, it were the foothills of that. And we had a huge gold rush. But other than that, you know, nothing was really going on until the train came through. And the train was freedom. The train was life. And there's a man named Ralph Spencer. He was on that train. And he came to Tallapoosa and realized we had something perhaps more valuable than gold. And that was Healing Springs. And he convinced people to build a 150-room hotel. And they were going to call it the Lithia Springs Hotel because of the lithium in the water. And he marketed this as a resort for Northerners, primarily for snowbirds to come down. And it worked. Well, they liked it so much, and he marketed again to come and move here. And they did. So we had a huge boom. They brought a lot of their companies with them. And this tiny little bump in the road suddenly had over four different nationalities living here and over 60 thriving businesses, just like that. And meanwhile, Atlanta was still going through restoration, you know, from the Civil War. And we, it was happening in Tallapoosa. We actually also boast the first free public school in the state of Georgia. And it's all because of the timing with this boom that happened. So that's right. Just a little bit of the history. And what I tell people is, you know, all of these transplants moved down here. All of these things happened here that a lot of people had forgotten or never knew about. And I wanted to bring that to the forefront, you know, for positivity in Tallapoosa. You know, the just our past, just that alone is fascinating.
So there's a place close by to there that our team goes, well, used to go. It's Budapest Cemetery.
Yes.
So this cemetery is pretty haunted. And we actually spoke with someone there the last time. We actually went to fly the drone and take three or four people out with us. And we were just going to get some footage of it. But mm-hmm. a lady there cutting grass, and we talked to her. So there's a possibility that we're going to be doing an investigation out there. It's a Hungarian cemetery. Do you yes, know much about that?
I do indeed. Once again, this is a Mr. Spencer, Ralph Spencer. I hate to use the word, but creation. After the bust, he decided that his county was going to go into the vineyard business, the winemaking business, but he did not know how to do that. And so he knew some people that did. So to explain briefly, he found over 250 Hungarian families that were working in the Pennsylvania coal mines, and he recruited them to come down. They had a settlement. Well, there were actually four planning, but the two settlements that actually, I believe, were populated were Budapest and Nitra, or Nitra. Budapest, of course, was the one that was the most successful. They had a church. They had the cemetery. They had homes out there, a settlement, really. And they came down to work the vineyards. They needed a priest. They were Catholic. And so he went up and found a pioneering priest that was from Hungary, Father Janoszek, and brought him down from New Jersey. And he was built a home out there on Old Ridgeway Road. And a lot of people around here call that Keys Castle, but I call it the priest house. Now, everything was going awesome. But of course, as we know, Prohibition hit Georgia, I believe, 7 years before the rest of the country. And it literally dried up the wine business.
Right. I don't recommend that anyone go out there after dark. It is heavily patrolled by Harrelson County now. And it's really not safe to go out there after dark. So I'm not recommending that you go. But if you want to go visit in the daytime hours, please go. It's a fascinating little cemetery. And to look around at all the woods and know that at one time this was a settlement, people yes. lived there, and there were vineyards out there. I tried to picture it when I was there last. But what do you think made Tallapoosa so haunted?
Well, I think that Tallapoosa is a place of great triumph and success, but I also think it's a place of, you know, that there were, you know, there was a bust. The people moved away, you know, with business. There was prohibition, a lot of disappointment, and people are their final resting place was here. You know, did they want to be here? You know, did they ever imagine this is where they would be laid to rest? Now, when I go out to Budapest, I agree with you. There's such a surreal feeling there. And, you know, it's, there's something there. Now, I will say there was a paranormal team that went out there a few years ago and did catch, they recorded a few things that I've heard that were, you know, the hair stood up on my arms. One recording that I did hear with my own ears was, "We don't want you here." So I don't know. I do, you know, I will say that it's a, if you go out there, that you've been out there, you understand what probably what I'm talking about.
I do. Yes. It takes on a different personality at nighttime as well.
Yes, definitely.
It really definitely.
Does. But why is Tallapoosa so haunted? Well, like I said, where there is great triumph and great tragedy, there might be energy lingering about, you know, unfinished business. Goodness, the list can go on.
Exactly. Yes. We have investigated in Tallapoosa. There's a building there that we did investigate. And you were talking about the other team capturing stuff. One of our team members, we left the last time we were at your ghost walk, we left there and we just pulled in to, you know, show somebody with us the cemetery, and no plans of getting out or anything. But as it turns out, you know, I want to show you this. It's just a little walkway. We weren't investigating. We weren't doing anything like that, just kind of showing it off. And one of our team members took a picture that was with us, and she actually captured the silhouette of a woman, a misty form of a woman. And I thought that was fascinating because we have heard, you know, through people, you know, slipping in and going in at night and investigating around, that they have seen and captured a woman dressed in white. So you know, whether to say she was dressed in white or just a mist, you know, it's hard to say. But
yeah, it's hard to say. But, on that one.
Right.
So what kind of things can people expect on the walk?
Well, they're going to hear a lot of history, but it's not boring. You know, as you said, you were fascinated.
Yeah.
I like to read newspaper archives. I've done all my interviews, you know, with people either on the phone or email, or just, you know, walking up to them in town and asking questions. And when you do that with a different audience, you know, maybe not, you know, you find people or they find you. You will hear some more unique stories that are not always out there. You know, you won't find them in a book. That you will hear stories about murders, bank robberies, you'll hear stories of true accounts, you know, the people that really saw things, that believe they saw what they saw. Mm-hmm. And these people are respectable citizens. You know, they come from all walks of life, and they will tell you, "I saw what I saw." These ghost stories, I feel, you know, are about as real as it gets. And just talking with these people and discovering these stories and them opening up to me has been fabulous.
That's good. We find that when we're interviewing for cases, sometimes neighbors don't want to talk about it, or relatives has had experiences in different people's homes and all. They're a little reluctant to talk about it. I guess it's a thing people think we're crazy. If
that's exactly what it is. And when I first started, no one would talk to me. And I finally, you know, I told y'all on the tour, I would sit outside the grocery store on Senior Citizens Day, and I would go inside and talk to people, you know, and they would just start talking back. And it has grown and grown, you know, to having a collection. The Lady in White story, there is a story. People have seen her walk in the streets of Head Avenue. And, you know, I want to find out more about her. So that's so funny that you said that. There's stories, of course, about children. Now, there were many, there were epidemics back then. Or people, I'll be frank, people died in horrible ways, you know. Right. They talk about the good old days, but my goodness, you know, I talk about how they would move houses, dragging them across town. And unfortunately, when you do that, there are deaths. And I have found the newspaper articles, you know, obituaries about being killed, dragging a house across town.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating.
It really is. Just the whole, everything about Tallapoosa and the stories you tell. You're a great storyteller. And well, you really you. Should write a book about the ghost of Tallapoosa, history and ghosts. You should do that.
I would love to. It's a dream. It basically, you know, it's just, I want it to be exactly the way, you know, it should be, you know, because one of my goals, you know, of course, it's amazing to bring people to town, you know, to share this history. So one day.
There you go. I'll be standing in line for your signature in a book too, I promise you.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, you were talking about feeling things and in that alley that, you know, that you took the picture. I would love to see the picture. Did you send that picture to me at one time?
I may have.
Okay. Okay. Because people that come will come up to me afterwards, you know, and tell me things, that they've, you know, felt or heard or seen, or sometimes people will bring equipment, you know, and they'll run over all excited, and it won't be, like you said, in any special place. It's just an alley or a road, an empty road. Especially there's one that's always got lots of activity.
I can tell you the place that I felt something during the tour, and it's when we went by the old shoe shop.
Okay.
I don't remember what you said the name of it was, but the man repaired shoes.
Johnson Shoe Shop. That's it. Mm-hmm.
When we were there, it was kind of, you know, I could feel a certain type of energy coming from there. So, you know, there's probably a ghost in that building.
Well, you know, that building is historic, and the family, you know, they were sitting up in Massachusetts, to, you know, and they found an ad about Tallapoosa, and it described Tallapoosa as just this nirvana, you know, move down here now. Mm-hmm. But they were Swedish, and they had migrated to Massachusetts. And so they came down and started their business in 1898. And for four generations, you know, as I say, they were shoe repairmen. They cobbled, you know. Mm-hmm. But there was a murder. I did post a story recently. I found a newspaper archive about a horrible murder, you know, right outside the shoe shop, a senseless murder. Two mm-hmm. farmers got into an argument, and one of them just, you know, shot the other farmer and killed him, mm-hmm. right outside the shoe shop, right there. So, I mean, and that's just one story. Can you imagine?
Yeah, there's so much there, you know, and I don't want you to share everything.
No,
but no, even though people who are listening hear these stories that you have to tell, it's so much different when you go there and experience it yourself. And I have seen you post pictures where people were on the walk, and they actually captured stuff in windows or just yes. out in the open. So, you know, take a camera if you go. And I recommend this place. It's, what, one county over from us?
Yes, not far yeah. from us. I mean,
and it's something to do with the family. It is family friendly.
Well, it's also, you know, you were talking about don't share too much, but it's always a little different. And it's very interactive. You know, we had a walk once where there is a ghost story, you know, about an old bank. And I was talking about that and a robbery. And a lady stepped forward and said, I was there the day that we were robbed and they locked us all in the vault. And she goes, and I've seen the man upstairs.
Yeah.
You know, what do you say to him?
Yeah, I was drawn to the upstairs there too. Mm-hmm. When we were close to there, I remember I just kept looking up like I was going to see something any minute from upstairs because there was a light on in there. Right. You know, I felt like I was going to see something move across there at any minute. And I really felt like something was looking out at me, and maybe it just didn't appear, you know, so that I could see it. But I really felt like something was looking down from there at me.
We captured a lot of images up in those windows, a lot. So I think he's up there. I really do.
Well, you know, a lot of these ghost stories, there is some level of accuracy that actually got these stories started down the line.
Right.
Yes. Which, you know, a lot of people don't realize. But, you know, something happened in history that, you know, caused, you know, these different stories to start being told from generation to generation.
Yeah, every rumor has a little fact to it.
Yeah, every rumor has a little fact to it.
Oh, that was good. I'll have to use that more often.
and you know, when you lock the pieces together, you know, it's like a puzzle. But that's the spark, you know, that's the inspiration. Someone carried that down because of something that happened.
Right.
Something in history that happened. Oh, and another part of our history is, you know, Harrelson was carved out of Carroll County and Polk County. And originally that land, there is a deed at our local museum, the West Georgia Museum, that describes that land. And it was entirely Creek land, Creek Native American land.
Right.
So when you think about the entire county being Creek land, that's another level of, you know, what's going on here. So.
Right. I know Paulding County, which is close to half of Paulding, was Creek and half were Cherokee.
Yes.
And they had a little border line there separating the two. So apparently, you know, they were good with each other.
Right.
I'm sure they had, I'm sure they fought a little bit, but, you know, and the Trail of Tears, you know, comes directly through here. In Tallapoosa, and that's another thing. So much history. And like I said, when I first moved back home, I had moved here directly from the Washington D.C. area. So when I got back home, I was a little lost, you know. And the history just, I was like, where was I? You know, was I asleep? You know, when I lived here, when I grew up here, what was I doing? So, you know, I've discovered all of it in the last 12 years I've been back.
Right. The building that we investigated there quite some time ago, it was right after our team, I think it was even before there was a Fox Paranormal.
Mm.
I think we were investigating under something else then. But we did a building there, and I won't disclose the name of it. But one of the claims were that the top part of the building was burned out at one time. There was another story.
Yep.
And that people had actually heard footsteps, like would come in the front door, and then you would hear it walk up the stairs. When you go up to the stairs, of course, that's boarded off.
Mm-hmm.
The stairs lead nowhere now, but where they used to lead to this, I think, third story, maybe. But we tried to capture something there, and I think someone had even said that they saw an apparition, which this apparition was known to do it a certain time every evening. It was almost like somebody was coming home from work. I think it used to be apartment or some type of boarding house or something.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't remember. But it was like he would. I say he because they all said that it was a man that they saw. They said you could hear him walk in the building and then hesitate a minute, and then you could hear him walking up the stairs.
Mm.
But well, the footsteps would go further than where the stairs currently go.
In our field, you know, we would have considered that a residual haunting, that It happens over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like,
right.
This poor man's stuck in time, I guess, and he's still coming home from work every day. You know, possibly.
Did they mention that he had a lunchbox?
I believe they did.
I think we're thinking about the same building. I know exactly about that story. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, he is reoccurring.
Yes. So, you know, we thought it would be nice if we could capture that, too. We weren't able to, but we weren't there at that exact same time that the reports were done. But I would have loved to set up a camera and just let it run, you know, for a couple of days and see if we could capture him walking up the stairs.
True.
Right.
Well,
go ahead.
Equipment we had now.
No, we didn't.
At that time, I mean, we have an SLS camera now that actually, you know, maps out spirits for us.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And
different things. We, you know, our equipment's grown from a little K2 to video cameras, SLS, motion detectors, DVR system, and
drone.
Drone.
Wow.
And, you know, so, and I'll tell you something. We get to an investigation, if we pulled out everything, it would take forever. So we sat around before we go on an investigation, and then we're like, okay, what do you think we're going to use on this case based on the claim?
Right.
And then we take it all out. But I would have loved to have had different equipment then. So I had to leave people that actually happened to us. And I don't know us
too, you know, all the epidemics.
Your claims, you want to verify them.
Exactly. And that's why I say I don't know, because nothing is you know, nothing is verified as far as I know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that fascinated me is the underground Tallapoosa.
Mm-hmm.
I know you had mentioned on the tour maybe there was a bowling alley down there or something.
Yes, there were three, actually, all over town. There were three bowling alleys. There was an underground roller rink, a skating rink. You know, and what it was basically is when as far as I can tell, the older pictures of Tallapoosa, the train is at ground level, and they built at some point. But underneath, there were breezeways or tunnels, you know, connecting all of these buildings. And sometimes, you know, there were shops down there. There were things to do down there. But to think there were three bowling alleys, that fascinates me. A skating rink.
Yes, mm-hmm. It does. Yeah. Probably had people from other counties come in as well.
Well, you know, what was funny is... a lot of people from Alabama would come over to Tallapoosa. You know, for a while, this is just a side story, but, you know, in Tallapoosa, it was legal to drink. It was legal to gamble. There were lots of bars and restaurants and, you know, fun places to go. And in Alabama, it was not legal. So on the weekends, they would kind of spill on over into Tallapoosa. And well, it could be chaos.
Right. And I believe I've heard rumors that even your police station there might have a ghost or two.
Yes, that we have, you know, two stories of policemen have died, you know, there, right there at the gates, you know. But there are verified stories from policemen that down in the old cell, you know, they've heard noises. They've heard whistling and a kind of a groaning sound, and then like something banging on the bars. And when I say old cell, I mean like it looks like a walk-in closet, you know, with a dirt floor. Something interesting we're about
I wish they would let us come and investigate that for them. Maybe if
Yes, I might ask, because frankly, we're getting a new police station, And all of that is going to be turned into a parking lot. So we need to do it fast. Yes.
Okay, yeah, let's work on this. And anything that we can set up there, we definitely want you to be a part of it.
Well, that would be wonderful. Have
an invitation to investigate with us.
That would be so fun. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great. There are so many stories that fascinated me. I'm just thinking back, and I guess it's been a couple of years since we've been there, but there were so many stories that fascinated me. And another one was, I guess it was a bar across on the other side of the railroad tracks where a woman jumped or was thrown out of an upstairs window.
Yes. Did you come to the one where the two ladies came and they came as guests? They were just two ladies in the crowd that actually worked at the adjoining shop. And when I was telling that story about her, you know, did she jump? Was she thrown? Because that building at one time was a brothel, the local brothel. And they were visually getting very excited, and I was like, what's up, you know? And they said, well, we saw her. And I said, what do you mean? How do you know? Well, she was in the back room one night, and they said that she was wearing slip, and when they watched her, she looked at them and just disappeared into the wall.
Wow.
And they were employees of the adjoining store. And when you think about the walls and the, you know, that history in that building and what went on, God only knows what went on up there. And then there were these two employees, very respectable people, to come and share that. It was so wonderful, and it was so interactive. And I mean, when they said we saw her, they were totally, you know, adamant about it.
That is amazing.
But I can't find a news report or a news article anywhere on this. But the older people, this happened in the 40s. So many of the senior citizens have told me that they remember this happening. But a policeman that came on the tour said that, you know, if she worked at the brothel, there's a chance it might not have even been in the paper.
Right.
Because I understand.
In the 40s, you know, that wasn't something that was broadcast. I mean, where society's open to any lifestyle now, more so than then, you know, a story like that would make our news, the newspaper. But back in the 40s, no.
Right. And especially if she was from out of town, you know, nobody knows her name. That I've named all my stories just to, you know, keep straight with my guides that help me. And, you know, that's the name of that story. Nobody knows her name. And it's sad. A lot of my stories are sad because one thing that people